All right, so we'll say let's begin. Top of Kuf Nun Gimel. Beautiful Gemara today. So the Gemara says the following. Top line. Amar Rav Yehuda, brother of Shmuel Bar Shilas, Mishmei Derav. So Rav Yehuda, the son of Rav Shmuel, said Bar Shilas, excuse me. The Rav Yehuda, the son of Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, said the following. Is that what did you leave off?
Yeah.
Good. He said before that the neshamos of tzaddikim are literally hidden under the kisei hakavod. Uba tumya hecha aske l'shmuel b'negido. How is the necromancer able to go ahead and raise the spirit of Shmuel? And I both said what the Gemara is referring to over here in the episode at the end of Shmuel Aleph. Oh, shalom aleichem. At the end of Shmuel Aleph, where Shaul is going out to meet the Plishtim. Shaul is going out to meet the Plishtim, and Shmuel is going out to meet the Plishtim, and he's not sure exactly how it is that he's going to defeat them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not willing to speak with them, and so he has no choice but to go ahead and consult this necromancer, this Oviyudoni, this woman who tries to communicate with the dead. So the Gemara says, if indeed the neshamos of tzaddikim are gnuzos tachas kisei hakavod, so how was she able to summon up the spirit of Shmuel? In fact, she was able to. So the Gemara says, Amalei hasam b'soch shneimas har chodesh shava. This was within 12 months of the death of Shmuel. Disanya kol yudbeis chodesh gufo kaim v'neshmasa ole v'yoredes. Because the Gemara says, for the first 12 months after a person dies, the body is intact, and the neshama ascends up and down. Right? The neshama goes up and down between Shamayim and the grave, and the earth. La'achar yudbeis chodesh haguf batal v'neshmasa ole v'shut ino yoredes. After 12 months, the body ceases to exist, and the neshama ascends to Shamayim and does not return back to the earth. Therefore, the Gemara is suggesting that the way that this necromancer was able to go ahead and summon up the spirit of Shmuel was simply because it was in the first 12 months, and therefore, again, his neshama, his soul, was accessible to those here on this earth. Amar Rav Yehuda b'rei d'Rav Shmuel bar Shilas m'shmei d'Rav. Nespedo shel adam nikar im bena olam habu. So we'll say in a beautiful Gemara, from the hesped of a person, from the eulogy of a person, you could tell whether or not they are a ben olam haba. Look at Rashi. In ben olam habahu, shim kasher haya, hakol bochin alov umoridin dema'us umisaprim shvacho. If a person is a true adam kasher, people cry for him. People cry for him. They shed tears, umisaprim shvacho, and they speak about his greatness. So therefore you have over here Rabbi Huda literally saying that from the nature of the eulogy of a person, you could tell if they are truly a ben olam haba or not. So the Gemara says, "Ini, is that so?" V'ha'amar le Rav l'Rav Shmuel bar Shilas. I bet Rav said to Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, "Achim behespeda." Suppose you listen to this. So Rav said to Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, "When you give my husband, when you give my eulogy, achim, make sure to move the crowd. Make sure to move the crowd. Make sure you speak in a way that moves everyone. Achim is like from Lashon Cham. Warm them up, right? Meaning inspire them. Move them with the hesped. Da hasam ka'imno, because I will be there. Rav was saying, my neshama will be there and I'll hear what you're saying. So we'll say the Gemara is bringing this up as a contradiction. Because he just said before that halacha l'maisa, you can go ahead and you can tell if a person is a ben olam haba from the eulogies that are given, which should sound like this dynamic occurs by itself. If the dynamic occurs by itself, then why does Rav need to say to Rav Shmuel, make sure to go out of your way to deliver a rousing eulogy? Again, if Rav is a ben olam haba, which of course he is, the eulogy will be rousing on its own. If he's not a ben olam haba, then the eulogy will not be rousing on its own. Why does he give the instructions to Rav Shmuel? For which the Gemara says, lo kashya, ha v'mechamu leiv ha'achim, ha v'mechamu leiv lo'achim. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, first of all, take a look at the Hasam Ka'imna. Rashi says, Bishas Hespin. So Rav was saying, I will hear you when you eulogize. The Eshma Eich Tischamein. And I will go ahead and hear the rousing nature of the Hespin. Look at the next Rashi. Hadim Mechamein Lei, Lehespeda Va'achim. Li Olam Chamumi Boi, She'in Bene Adam Nechmorim Kolkach Al Zokeh. Umihu li adam chasid ki mechamamo behespeida nischamami ubachu kulhu ulemisha eno chasid kolkach mechamamo lei v'lo mechamos. So also listen to this. The Gemara essentially answers that halacha lemaisa, you still need an inspirational eulogy. Right, you still need a moving eulogy. So the shaila is like this: the death of an old person is not really a sad event. It's not really a tragic event. So the interesting question becomes like this: will people cry at the loss of an elderly person? So Rav said to Rav Shmuel, when you deliver my eulogy, deliver a rousing eulogy, and if people cry as a result of the eulogy, that's a sign that I'm a ben olam haba. But sometimes people deliver rousing eulogies and people don't cry. So everything. So again, the eulogizer obviously has to put in the effort to go ahead and deliver a good hesped. Without the effort of delivering a good hesped, nothing's going to happen. But if people react to the hesped, says the Gemara, that's a sign that the person who passed away is a ben olam haba. If nobody reacts to the hesped, that's a sign that the person is not a ben olam haba. So the Gemara goes weiter. Amalei Abaye l'Rabba. Listen to this. So Abaye said to Rabba, Kigon Mat. So I just want to point out something very interesting. You see this also from yesterday's daf, that when a person delivers a eulogy, there's an incredible responsibility. An incredible responsibility to go ahead and convey to those assembled that which has been lost. That's it. People often think that eulogies are about, you know, giving an entire history of the person. Chaim Nagel was born in, 1942 in the Shtetl in Poland, and he, was a shepherd, and then he became an apprentice, and then he did, which is fine, the biographical information is fine, that's more appropriate for Shiva, really, where you share this kind of information. The goal of a hesped is to be ma'orer bechi, is to awaken crying, is to show people that which has been lost, to show here was a very special person, and the world is not going to be the same, or at least the family's world is not going to be the same without the presence of this individual. That's the true essence of a hesped. So I'm going to buy the rabba. So Abaye said to Rabba the following: Kigon mar, the son ulei kulu po pedisai, man ochim hespeda. So Abaye says to Rabba something very interesting. Rabba, what's going to happen at your levaya? What's going to happen with you? Because all of Pumpadisa hates you. So who is going to go ahead and deliver a rousing eulogy? So he didn't sugarcoat it exactly. Look at Rashi over here. The son of Kula Pumpadisai, Mishum, you know why they hated Rav? Mishum demuchach lehu b'mili dishmayo. Because Rav gave them Musar. Rav gave them Musar. People don't like Musar. Ubnei Pumpadisai Ramon. And the people of Pumpadisa were not so pushed. That's a beautiful Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says that if there's a Rav, if everybody likes the Rav, the Rav's not doing his job. If everybody hates the Rav is not a mensch. Right? So the Chassam Sofer says, if you're doing whatever you're doing in life, if everybody likes you, you're not really doing it. Right? You always have to make some enemies, because anytime you have to make decisions, there are always going to be people who don't like you. So apparently Rabba had to make some pretty stark decisions. So Abaye says to Rabba, everybody in Pumpadisa hates you. So who's going to cry when you die? So Rabba responds, Amrlei, Mistayo at v'Rabba Barav Chanan. So Rabba responded, the truth is, it's good enough for me if you and Rabba Barav Chanan deliver eulogies. If that's what happens, as long as you're masping me, I'm okay with that. Boim li Rabbi Elazar Merav. Rabbi Elazar asked from Rav the following question. Eizehu ben olam haba. Who is someone who's going to the world to come? Amrlei, v'ozenecha tishamano. Davar me'acharecha leimor. See, here he quotes the pasuk from Yeshaya. Vaznecha tishmana davar me'acharecha leimor. Your ears will hear that which is said behind you. Zeh haderech lechubo. This is the path you should go on. Kisa aminu v'chisa smilu. When you go right and when you go left. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Vaznecha tishmana davar me'acharecha leimor. Zeh haderech lechubo. Me'acharim itascha kishetamos. When you die, when people say behind your coffin, Tishma, kishayomru zaderech shahalach ba, zelechuba muftachu shil ben alam habra. Both say, you know what the best shevach, the best praise of a life well lived is? If after you die, if people say, now I want to live my life like that, that's shevach. That's ultimate praise, and that's a sign that a person is going to alam habra. Essentially, when a person becomes an inspiration to how others should live life, that's a ben olam habra. Rabbi Chanina Amar, Kol Shedas Rabosenu Nocha Hemenu. Rabbi Chanina said, you know who a Ben Olam Haba is? Anyone who gives his teachers Nachos. His teacher, so the Das of his teachers is Nocha Hemenu. Uvisavavo Beshuk HaSopim. Siri quotes the Pasuk over here from Koheles. and literally the eulogizers will circle around the marketplace. B'nei Gelila Amri, so in the Galil, they used to say the following, Asei Devarim Lifnei Mitasecha, go ahead and do things before your bed. Now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Asei Devarim Sheyomru Lifnei Mitasecha Behespedecha. So in Galil, they used to say, make sure to do things in life that they will speak about as they stand in front of your bed. Bed here is a reference to your coffin. So make sure that you live life in such a way that when you leave this world, when they're eulogizing you, they have things, good things to say about you. B'nei Yehuda Omri, B'nei Yehuda, they used to say, Asei Dvarim La'achar Mitasecha, do good things in life so that when they stand behind your casket, behind your funeral bed, they'll have good things to say. V'lo Pligin, they're not arguing. Mark Yasrei, was apparently again in the Galil and in Yehuda, they eulogize people standing in different positions. So in Galil, they must have been standing in front of the coffin. And in Yehuda, they stood in back of the coffin. So same concept, the idea is live your life in such a way that when you leave this world, those who eulogize you will have proper things to say about you. That's the idea. And that's indicative of a person who's Ben Olam Haba as well. So Gemara goes weiter. Tanan Hasan, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. So we'll say again, a beautiful, beautiful, famous Gemara that is mamish life-changing. Shuv yom echa lifnei misasecha. Make sure to do tshuva one day before you die. Sha'alu talmidov es Rabbi Eliezer. So the students asked Rabbi Eliezer a simple kasha. V'chi adam yodea eizehu yom yomus. Does a person know what day they're going to die? That a person could do tshuva on the day before they die? And Rabbi Eliezer says to them, exactly. Amar lahen, v'chol shekein, yashuv hayom, shema yamos lamachar. Rabbi Eliezer says, exactly, that's my point. You have to live each day as if it is your last, and therefore make sure to get your affairs in order, make sure to do whatever tshuva you have to do, do it now. And if you live life in that way, then what? Then every day is lived in a state of tshuva. Va'af Shlomo Omer b'chachmaso, and Shlomo have said this in his wisdom as well, b'chol eis yihyu b'gadecha levanim. Your clothing should be white at all times, v'shemen al roshecha l'al yechsar, and there should never be a lack of oil on your head. So what does it mean, lack of oil? So this is a state of preparedness. A person has to live life in a state of preparedness. So we'll say what Rabbi Eliezer is saying is, is that the greatest challenge we face is procrastination. Right? And we always make an assumption that there's some time in the future to do whatever it is that we have to do. And says Rabbi Eliezer, we're not guaranteed of anything in life. Therefore, live every single day as if it was your last. Make sure that you're in a state of preparedness. That Shana Kodesh Baruch will call your neshama back. My clothing is white, the oil is in my head, and I'm ready to face the Ribono Shel Olam. Also, I want to point out, this is not said like in a melancholy or morose fashion, depressing fashion. Oh, no, who knows, I'm going to die tomorrow. It's very empowering. What it's saying is, don't put off what needs to be done. Live your life in a state of readiness. Make sure you're prepared. You know there's something you have to do. I know there's something I have to fix. Fix it. That's all. So that way, again, a person never has to fear, God forbid, having to face a moment where I don't have the time to do the things that I know I need to get done. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said this can be compared to a king who invited his servants to a suuda. Now he did not go ahead and establish a time for the suuda. So meaning he said, I'm going to invite you to suuda, but he didn't say when the suuda is going to be. The smart ones already readied themselves. They got dressed, they got ready, and they sat by the entranceway of the palace. Why? Because they said to themselves, look, the king could call the su'uda like that in a moment. So we have to be in a constant state of readiness. We never know when he's going to call for the su'uda to begin. But the silly ones, the foolish ones, went out and went about their business. Amru klum yesh su'uda below Torah. Is there a meal? Is there such thing as a meal without preparation? In other words, it was that the tipshim felt that before that we're summoned, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'll definitely get what? We'll definitely get advance warning. And there'll be plenty of time to prepare for the su'uda. What happens? Below Torah. Bipit om vikesh hamelech es avodav. Then one day, suddenly, out of nowhere, the king summons all of his servants to the palace. The smart ones, the wise ones, went in and were beautifully dressed and clothed. kishen mevachlochin. But the foolish ones who had been out doing whatever it is that they were doing came in sullied and dirty and did not have a chance to clean themselves up. Samach hamelech likras pirkin. The king was overjoyed to greet the wise ones. Because likras tipshin. But he was upset to greet the foolish ones. Amar halalo shekishtu es asman l'suda yesho v'yechlo v'yishtu. Those who prepared themselves for the suuda shall sit and drink, shall sit and eat and drink. Halalo shlo kishtu asman l'suda yamdu v'yiru. However, those who did not prepare themselves for the suda will stand and will not eat, will not partake. Chaslo shami meir mishum Rabbi Meir Amar. The son of Rabbi Meir said the name of Rabbi Meir. Af heinirin kimishamshin. So no, they can't just stand there, right? The Rishon can't just stand there. Why? The Shotim can't just stand there because it looks like that they're the attendants of the meal. If you're the attendant of the meal, you're still part of the meal. Elo elu v'elu yoshvin. Rather, both the pikhin and the tipshin sit. Halalu ochlin v'halalu re'evin. The pikhin eat and the tipshim are hungry. Halalu shosin, the pikhin drink. V'halalu tzmein and the shotim are thirsty. Shenehemar koamar Hashem, hine avdi yochelu v'atem tarivu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, my servants will eat and you will be hungry. Hine avada yishtu, my servants will drink, v'atem titzmu, and you will be thirsty. Hine avada yaronu, my servants will cry out in joy, right, will sing to me in joy, mitov lev, v'atem titzaku mikeev lev, and you will cry out out of pain of heart. So we'll say again, the mashal is a very powerful mashal. Of course, the su'udah represents the Olam HaMS, and we never know when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will summon us to the Olam HaMS. So the point is, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu summons us to the Olam HaMS, it's nice to think that we get a little bit of notice, that we get to prepare a little bit, but often life is not like that. Therefore, a person has to be in a constant state of readiness to ensure that should I be called to the Su'udah, I am ready, to take my seat at the table of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara goes weiter. Davar acher, b'chol eis yu b'gadecha levanim. What does it mean when it says that your clothing should be white at all times? Elu tzitzis. This is the first tzitzis. V'shemen al roshcha. V'shemen al roshcha al yechzar. And there should be no lack of oil on your head. Elu tefillin. Elu tefillin. So Shlomo Melech says, always make sure to don yourself with the mitzvos that encompass our body of tzitzis and tefillin. Hadron alach shoel. Mi shehechshech baderech. So what's another very interesting halacha l'maisa case. Someone who's traveling on the road, it's Erev Shabbos, and it's getting dark. And I realize I'm not going to make it home prior to the onset of Shabbos. So what do I do? No same kiso l'nochri. So let's say again, I'm holding my wallet. Now, of course, my wallet is muktzah. So what do I do with it on Shabbos? So the Mishnah says, I can give it to a non-Jew. And the non-Jew could carry it home for me. Rashi points out over here, mibo'od yom. I'm giving it to the non-Jew while it is still day. Right? This is still on Erev Shabbos. However, if they made him onochri, what happens if there's no Gentile with me? Manicho ala chamor. I can go ahead and place my wallet on my donkey. Higia lochatra chitzono. When I arrive to the outer courtyard, I will say, outer courtyard, Rashi points out over here that once I enter into my city, it was called the chatra mishtameres. Once I enter into a place that is guarded, meaning that I can put my possessions down and I'm not concerned they're going to get stolen, which might be even before I get to my house. Might be even once I get into my city, then what? No till asakilim hanitalin b'Shabbos. I take off the utensils that are permitted to be carried on Shabbos from the animal. V'she'inon nitalin b'Shabbos matir hachavolin v'asakin oflim eilehem. But anything else that can't be held directly, what do? I untie the load from on top of the animal, and what happens? It falls off by itself. Says the Gemara. My time out Sharuli Rabban al Mesiv Kisa Nachri. Now both said we know, we've already established earlier on in this sugya that I'm Mir Lanachri. You can't instruct a non-Jew to do malacha on Shabbos for something that you can't do yourself. So why am I permitted to ask the non-Jew, to ask the Gentile, to go ahead and carry my wallet on Shabbos if I myself would not be able to do that? So both say it's an incredible yisod. Kimluhu Rabban, the rabbis understood, De'ein Adam Ma'amid Atzmo al Mamono. Because a person is not just going to go ahead and let his money be lost. But Chazal understood human psychology. And that if you tell a person, oh, I'm sorry, you're traveling, and what? And you can't go ahead and carry your wallet anymore, and we're giving you no other permissive outlet, then what's going to happen? people are not going to put their wallets down. They're just not. They're not going to do it. The person's not going to lose all of their money. So Chazal understood, don't put a person in a situation where you know they're going to violate. Instead, give them the heter to instruct the non-Jew to carry it for them. So the Gemara says, Ilo Sharislay, if you did not give them the opportunity, the permissiveness, or the permission to hand it off to a non-Jew to carry it for them, Asil the Isuye Dalar Amos Bishus Rabim. A person would end up carrying it, Dalar Amos Bishus Rabim, which again could potentially be a Malacha Doraisa. Omar Rabba, Davka Kiso. But Rabba says this only applies to his wallet. Ava Metzia Lo. But if he found an object, this would not apply. Not apply, meaning if he found an object, that you just have to leave there. So Gemara says, Pshita, Kiso Tanan. Okay, that's obvious. The Mishnah itself says his wallet. So Gemara says, no. Ma'od him. What would I have thought? Who had din afilu mitzia? I might have thought it even applies to an object that you find. V'hodiktani kiso, and the fact that it said wallet, orcha demilsa katani, is just talking in a normative fashion. Kamash malon, no. V'lo amran ella delo asi liyoder. So we'll say, this is the halacha. But when we say that it doesn't apply to a mitzia, that's only true if what? If the mitzia did not reach your hand. Aval asi liyode kikise dami. So we'll say it's very interesting. So when we say that you have to leave behind the mitzia, the idea is that Chazan were only concerned about things that what? Things that are yours. So my wallet, which is mine, there was a concern that if Chazal say, I'm sorry, you have to leave it by the side of the road, people aren't going to do that. They're just not going to do it. And therefore Chazal said, okay, give it to the non-Jew, he'll transport it for you. But that's only for what? That's only for objects that truly have the possession of the individual. But a mitzia, let's say I'm walking on the road, and I see there's a $50 bill over there by the side of the road. So I can't, and it's now 5 minutes before Shabbos, I can't tell the non-Jew, do me a favor, pick that up for me and carry that home for me. Because again, I don't have a relationship to that object. So the Gemara says, that's only true if what? If I don't yet have a relationship with the object. Let's say 2 hours before Shabbos, I picked up the $50 bill. Then suddenly that $50 bill has made an incredible metamorphosis. From a lost object to what? Right? To my money. And once it becomes my money, it doesn't matter if it was my money for the last 2 hours, or my money for the last 2 years. My money is my money is my money. Therefore, Halacha L'Maaseh, the Gemara says, in that case, the Metziah then becomes the possession of the individual, and would be subject to the same Halacha of the Mishnah, that I'd be permitted to go ahead and give it to the guy to go ahead and carry for me until we get back to my Chatzar. So the Gemara says, Ikedami, there was another version of this. Ikedami, others have a different version. Boy Rava, Rava asked, Metziah haba'a liyodo mahu. What is the status of a mitzia, of a lost object that came into his hand? So the Gemara says, what is the halacha? On one hand, kevan da'asa liyadei kikisei dami. Do we say that since it came to my hand, it's just like my wallet? O dilma kevan de lo tarachba lav kikisei dami. Or maybe since I exerted no effort. Right? So most of the money in my wallet, the pashas, is the money I worked for. So a person has a special connection to things that they have worked for. As opposed to Metzia, you know, easy come, easy go. I didn't do anything to earn that. And therefore, maybe a person doesn't have a connection to that. So according to this version, it's a teiku. The Rabbos say, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the first version, which is that once something comes into your hand, that's considered as if it's yours, and it's no different than the $50 that you earned, the $50 that you found. Once it goes into my wallet, it's mine, and I'd be permitted to go and ask the non-Jew to go ahead and carry it for me on Shabbos to get to my chatzar. Eni mo nochri. So the Mishnah said, if I'm not traveling with a non-Jew, so then what could I do? I could put it on my animal. Taimo de eni monochri. So the reason I could put it on my donkey is because there's no non-Jew with me. Ha yeshi monochri. But again, if... Oh, I'm having a rough morning this morning. All right, get you another cup of coffee. All right, so the Gemara says, ha yeshi monochri, le nochri yohivle. So what's clear from this Mishnah is that what? That if there is a non-Jew, we would preferably give it to the non-Jew than put it on the donkey. What's the logic behind that? My taima, chamor ata mitzuva al shvivaso, no shvisaso, nochri I ata mitzuva al shvisaso. So we'll say here the chilik. Why would I rather give my wallet to a non-Jew than put it on my donkey? Because interestingly enough, I have a halachic obligation towards my donkey. Right, my donkeys, there's kind of shvisas beima. My animals are not supposed to work on Shabbos. Even the notion of putting my wallet on top of the donkey is considered like going ahead and working the animal. So if possible, if I could avoid that, better to give it to a non-Jew. And now I have no obligation vis-a-vis the non-Jew on Shabbos. Rabbinically, I'm not permitted to ask the non-Jew to do malach on my back, but mid-de-oraisa, the non-Jew has absolutely no relationship to Shabbos. So when given the choice between asking my animal to do something, so to speak, and asking the non-Jew to do something, it's actually halachically better to ask the non-Jew to do something. So the Gemara then goes through a couple of cases like this. The Gemara says, Chomer v'cheri shota v'katon. So what happens if you have a donkey? Cheresh is a deaf mute. Shota is someone who's insane, and a katan. The Rabbis say cheresh, shota, v'katan are all people who are not obligated to mitzvos. So the question now is, let's say I have these four individuals, right, four, or not individuals, three individuals and one donkey, right, with me. Who should I give the wallet to? Who should I give the wallet to on Erev Shabbos? So the Gemara says, achomer manachlei, you would put it on the donkey. You would put it on the donkey. So the Gemara says the following. I'm sorry. You would put it on. You would put it on the chamer. A chamer manachle. You would put the wallet on the chamer. Lecheri shote v'katan lo yohivle. You would not give it to the cheri shote v'katan. My taima, honey adam, honey lav adam. Because again, when faced with the choice of giving it to a human being, what the Gemara also means, not just human being, it's Jewish human being, right? So when faced with the choice between giving it to a Jew or putting it on the animal, in that case, we'd rather put it on the animal. Cheresh shota, cheresh v'shota. What happens if it's a choice between giving it to the cheresh and the shota, right? Cheresh is the deaf mute. Shota is the person who's insane. L'shota, we would give it to the shota. Why, Rashi says, if you look at the last line in Rashi, Rashi says, L'shota, yohiv delesle das klal. Because the shota is considered as not possessing any level of das, as opposed to the cheresh, the deaf mute, who is in possession of some level of das. So I'll say, obviously, again, from the Gemara's, but hey, interesting discussion today about the contemporary status of the cheresh, because Baruch Hashem, we live in very different times. Right? Even if a person is deaf and mute, a person, Baruch Hashem, has the ability to interact in incredible, incredible fashion, and the ability to accomplish like a person who has all of their faculties. The interesting discussion, but clearly from the Gemara's perspective, a cheresh was someone who lacked das simply because they lacked the way to interact with the world. The world lacked the way to interact with them. So the Gemara saw everyone faced between a cheresh and a shota, we would rather give the wallet to the shota because the shota is considered to be more compromised than the cheresh. So the Gemara goes weiter. Katan v'shota, excuse me, cheresh, shota, l'shota. Shota the katan, if it's a choice in the shota and the katan, l'shota, then you would sooner go ahead and give it to the shota. And I will say again, the logic over there also, as we'll see, is because the katan, although now he is exempt, the katan is someone who is going to come, lichlam mitzvos. Iboy luhu, cheresh v'katan mai. What happens if it's a choice between a cheresh and a katan? Sa'alibud rabi Eliezer loti boy lucha. According to Rabbi Eliezer, there's not a shayla. Disanya, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Trumas Cheresh. If a Cheresh separates out Truma, right? Cheresh separates out Truma. Lo teitzei l'chulin mipneishu safek. So you should not allow that Truma separated to go and become chulin because of safek. Now also, that's another way of saying is, if a Cheresh separates out Truma, we're actually not sure. We're not sure if it's a valid designation or not. But misafek will treat it like truma. We actually go to chumra. What we'll do is we'll treat that like chumra, but like truma, but you'll still have to separate the truma again. Kiti baruch hashem. So therefore, you see, according to Rabbi Eliezer clearly holds that a cheresh does have some level of das. And therefore, again, if you have a choice between, in this case over here, a cheresh and a katan, you would give it to the katan and not to the cheresh. So who does the question come up to? Ki tibay lecha, whose question come up according to Alibi de Rabbanan, the Snan, Chamisha lo Yisrumo, the Rabbanan say five people should not tithe. V'im tarmu ain't trumas and truma, and if they did take truma, their designation / separation is not valid. Elohim, here are the five, cheresh, shota, v'katan. Right, a cheresh, deaf mute, shota, someone who's insane, katan, minor, hatorim esheino shelo, someone who tithes produce that's not theirs. You can't go ahead and be torim someone else's produce. V'nochri shetorim es Yisrael, shafilu b'shuso, and if a non-Jew tithes the produce of a Jew, even if he is acting as the agent of the Jew, such a separation is not valid. Ain't truma so truma. So the Gemara says, Mai, what would you do in this case? L'cheirei shoyevle, then according to this approach, you certainly would give it to the cheirish. Why? D'katan asid l'chlal das. On one end, you could say, when faced between a choice between a cheresh and a katan, maybe you should give it to the cheresh, because at the end of the day, although the katan right now is not a bardas, the katan will what? the katan will come to the state of das. O Dilma, on the other hand, the katan yohev lemi, you should give it to the katan, the cheresh asi the chelufei bibigodol pikeach, because maybe you would confuse the cheresh with another quote-unquote normal adult. Ika da amri le cheresh yohev lemi, so therefore there are some who say that you should give it to the cheresh. Ika da amri le katan yohev lemi, and others say you should go ahead and give it to the katan. So I will say this last case, apparently of cheresh and katan, is subject to a machlokes. Fine. Ein sham lo nachri velo chamar velo cheresh velo shote velo katan. So I will say up until now, what we've been focusing on is what is who, you know, the hierarchy of who you should have carry the wallet. Now the Gemara asks the more extreme case. You're flying solo, right? There's no one else around. There's not a non-Jew, there's not a cheresh, katan, no one but you. So now what do you do with your wallet? Right? So we'll say very nice case. What do you do with your wallet? My, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Oda cheres haisa. There was another very important halacha, V'lo ratu chacham legalosa, but the rabbis did not want to reveal it. My Oda cheres haisa. What was this big, what was this additional halacha that they didn't want to divulge and reveal? Molicho pachos pachos midalar amas. What can you do, Rabbi, say if you are stuck? If you are mamish stuck with your wallet, and the Shabbos is about to start, and you have no one else you can hand it off to, what do? You walk at intervals of less than dalet amos. Remember, the only ish, the isra of hotzah, is walking dalet amos. If you go ahead and you walk 3.5 amos and stop, therefore what you've done is you've done an akira and a hanocha, right? And you stop. Then you start again, 3.5 amos. Keep each spurt of walking is less than dalet amos. Then technically speaking, you have not violated the deoraisa malacha of hotzah or havara, right? Of being mavir and dalet amos, right? Now midrabanan, that's usser. But again, clearly what the rabbanan are saying over here is in this extreme case, they lift their prohibition. So the Gemara says, amai lo ratzu chachamim legalosa. Why did the rabbis not want to reveal this? I'm saying it's an important thing to know. Mishum kvod elokim haster davar. Because sometimes the honor of God is best served by hiding certain things. And the honor of kings, the glory of kings, is through investigation. So the Gemara says, "V'hacha my kavod alokim ika." So what's the kavod of God by hiding this matter? Dilma asi la asuye dalet amos u'shusrad. So Rabbi said, you could very easily see how such a dispensation could be abused. Right? First of all, it could be abused in cases other than the wallet. That's number one. It could also be, you have to have a lot of concentration for that, to make sure that you're not walking more than dalet amos at any particular spurt. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Bo Bayom Gidshu Sa'ah. So this is very interesting. So Rabbi Eliezer says, on that day, now what's interesting is, on that day, Rashi points out over here, if you look at Rashi, Bo Bayom Gidshu Sa'ah. So Rashi says, B'yom Sha'olu La'aliyas Chananya Ben Chizkiya, the Gazra Yud Ches Davar. So also, if you remember again, we actually saw this earlier, that there was one day where they went to the attic of Chananya ben Chizkiyah, and they made the 18 decrees. The 18 decrees. So Achos, Vizu Achos, and this is one of the 18. So he says, Parakamenos, Ekis, Lo Nachri, Bo Bayom, Gazra Shlo Yechene, Pachos, Pachos, Midal Ramos, Im Yesham Nachri, Osayom, Herbus Yeglator. So both sides. So what the Gzera says is like this. When you have access to a non-Jew, or for that matter, your donkey, you cannot use this dispensation of carrying the wallet less than dalet amos. Less than dalet amos. Now, according to this first approach of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer says, this was on that day, the rabbis secured Torah. Right? On that day, Gadshu, they made a beautiful, Gadshu literally means they made a pile of wheat, which is another way of saying they heaped good Gezeras on it. It was a good thing that they did. Rabbi Yeshua says, no. Bo Bayom, on that day, Machkusa. They caused the pile of wheat to fall over. What does that mean? Rabbi Yeshua says that they were too machmir. They added on too many chumras. They should have told people from the beginning this idea of carrying pachos, pachos, midalat amas. Because if you just tell people that everything is aser, at the end of the day, things are not going to go well. So we'll say again, a fundamental machlok is as to whether or not it was a good idea not to divulge this pachos, pachos, midalat amas dispensation or not. Rabbi Eliezer says, yes, it was a good thing. They strengthened the protective fences around Torah. Rabbi Yoshua says it was a bad thing. Because ultimately, when people think that everything is aser, they actually come more easily to transgress. Tanya. So the Brisa says, Moshul Rabbi Lazar Ma Davadoma. What could Rabbi Lazar's statement be compared to? Rabbi Lazar feels that, again, by adding on these gezeros, Chazal did a good thing and strengthened the protective fence around the Torah. Doma lekupa malea kishurim v'diluim. it can be compared to a basket that's filled with literally cucumbers and gourds. Adam no sein lesocha chardal v'hi machazekes. So it happens, I'll say, if you have a basket filled with cucumbers and gourds and you pour in mustard seed, so what will happen? So cucumbers and gourds, obviously when they sit on top of each other, there will be spaces. What happens when you pour in the mustard seed? The mustard seed fills up the spaces and solidifies the contents of the basket. So Rabbi Elazar says that by adding on these additional gazeros, what Chazal did was they solidified the halachic basket. According to Rabbi Yeshua, what could it be compared to? Rabbi Yeshua was the one who said they did a disservice with all of these gazeros. Again, I will say, what they're specifically referring to over here is this idea that what they're focusing on is like this. There clearly is this dispensation that if you are in need, you could carry the wallet less than Dalet Amos. But Chazal did not want to divulge that initially. That only came out later on, after they were pushed and said, okay, there's no guy, there's no chamer, there's no cheresh, there's no shelter, there's no katan, there's no one around. Okay, then fine, you carry pachos. So Rabbi Elazar says that was a good thing they didn't divulge it immediately. Rabbi Yoshua says it was a bad thing. Why, says the Gemara? Rabbi Yoshua, la'arevim alei advash, can be compared to a bowl that's filled with honey. No sein l'socha rimonim ve'egozim ve'himekia. What happens if you have a bowl filled with honey and you put in there nuts and pomegranates? What's going to happen to the honey in the bowl? It's going to overflow its side. Meaning if you pile too much on people, what happens? It overflows. You're going to lose them. And therefore, according to Yeshua, you should have told them the dispensation from the beginning. Because the dispensation, because again, you're going to put people in a situation where you're going to force them to choose between their money and their God. And I will say, that's not a pashut decision for many. Although it should be a little bit more pashut for us, we all struggle with it in different ways. And they're going to, more often than not, Rabbi Yeshua felt they're going to choose their money, and they're going to end up violating. Amar Mar, Ein imo nochri maniach ala chomer. So what did the Mishnah say before? That if I'm not traveling with a non-Jew, I can go ahead and put my wallet on the donkey. Really? Vahalo mechamer. So we'll say, what about the fact this is mechamer? We'll say, mechamer is one of the lametes melochos, and mechamer, look at Rashi, vahalo mechamer, manhik chomer tuuna kari mechamer. Leading an animal that's carrying a load is called mechamer. Right? How can you do that on Shabbos? By putting the wallet on. Also remember, load is not necessarily defined as something that has to be excruciatingly heavy for the animal. What it just means is that the animal's carrying something. It's working. So isn't this one of the lametes malachos? Rachman amar lo sasek malacha. And the Torah says, can't do any malacha. Amar aladabar ava manicho ale kishehi mahalechas. So Rav Adabar Ava gives a very interesting answer. He says, you only put the wallet on the animal while the animal is moving. Then I will say, what's the chap of that? The chap of that is that there's no akira. There's no akira, right? The idea is, just like the isra by a person of carrying it, there has to be an akira, there has to be an uprooting of the object and a placing down of the object. So to an animal, in order for an animal to be considered as if it's carrying a load, it also needs an akira and the hanocha. So the Gemara suggests over here that if you place that wallet on the animal while the animal's moving, there won't be that same akira. But 1 second. It's impossible that the animal's not going to stop at some point in time to urinate or to defecate. And then it'll end up what? That when the animal goes ahead and begins moving again, you'll have an akira. And then when the animal stops, you'll have a hanocha. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Once the animal already started moving, laleches de lavakira hi kidar parakamon kabiet inu chaveros. So skip down a little bit. Vechivan de adol mechay bachatos ki agavna kan mutter de hachanami malacha ksibes. So we'll say, listen to this. So what we do is we model the malacha of an animal after the malacha of a person. And the same way that a person is only chayav for otsa for carrying, if there's an akira and a hanacha, an akira means I lift the object up from a state of rest, and I put it down once again in a state of rest. So to the only time you're chayav for leading a loaded animal is when, or a laden animal, is when the animal also did an akira and a hanacha. But if I'm putting the object on the animal while the animal is moving, there is no akira because the object is not being lifted up from its place of rest. So the Gemara therefore says, what do you do about the fact that the animal is going to stop? And when the animal does stop to take care of its needs, and then it starts moving again, that is what? That's an akira. That by itself is an akira. To which the Gemara gives a very interesting answer. When the animal is walking, you put the wallet on it. And when you see the animal is going to stop, you lift up the wallet. If that's the case, then the truth is you don't have to use the donkey. You can actually do this to your friend as well, right? Because then again, you're avoiding a kira and tanacha. I'm at papa. So the papa says the principle is like this: kol shebegufo chayiv chatos. Whatever act, if you were to do it yourself, you would be chayiv chatos. Bechaveiro pato ava aser. If your friend does it for you, obviously, again, let's say without the technicalities of the machos. For example, if I were to carry an object, I'd be chayiv chatos. But if my friend is walking and I put the object on his back and I lift it off before he stops, that's pato ava aser. That's aser midrabanan. However, kol shechaveiro pato aval aser bechamoro mutu lechatchila. So I will say the principle would be that anything that would be an issur derabbanan, if my friend did it for me, my animal could do it in a totally permitted fashion. Fine. Amar Rav Ada bar Ava. So we'll say now once you got into these strange chotzah cases, the Gemara is bringing up one more. Haisa chavilasa munachas la'aksefo. If I was carrying a burden on my shoulders, so we'll say listen to this case. I'm carrying something on my shoulders. And what happens? I realize Shabbos is about to start. Shabbos is about to start. So what do? Rotz tachteha ad shamagia lebeiso. I simply begin to run and don't stop running until I reach my house. Even though what? Even though Shabbos is starting at some point in time very soon while I'm running. Then I will say, what's the chab of that? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Rotz tachteha. Rashi says, v'chol kama delo amad lafush in kana kira le'isa. So also, listen to this chab. So remember, the akira took place on Friday, Erev Shabbos. The issue that's going to happen is if I stop once Shabbos begins, then what? That's hanocha. Once I do the hanocha, I'm stopped. I'm stuck. I can't pick up the object. So what do? Keep running. Keep running. As long as you're running, then what? Again, I'll say leaving aside, transporting an item. Let's say I'm not in Rosh Tzorabim. So just keep running until you get home. And that way, again, you'll do the hanocha once you walk into your house, and you won't be chayiv on Shabbos. The Gemara says, Davka rotz. Aval kali kali lo. Now, why do you have to run? The truth is, you can accomplish the same thing just by walking. So the Gemara says, no. My time, it came in the less lay, akira, aslami, avad akira, v'anacha. So also, the Gemara says, no, because if you're just walking, there's not enough of a shinoi. And one may come to what? One may come to go ahead and stop. And when you stop, you literally will have done an akira. And if you were to start again, that will be a hanacha. One second. Sof kimata lebeisi efshelo kai porto the kama ayel lubmirshusam nushleyachet. Rabbi said, one second. You can't just run straight into your house, right? There's something called the door. Many times, some things, at some point in time before you go into the house, you're going to have to stop. And the moment that you stop, that's a hanochan nushusaradim. And then when you walk back into your house, that's what? That's the transferring an item into another, which is going to be chayiv, to which the Gemara says, Dezorek leikila acharyad. What's the case? The case is where, as you near your house, you fling the knapsack, you fling the backpack into your rishus with a shinui. Okay. Amarai bar Chama, so we'll say again, the Gemara is just bringing up these crazy cases of Hotzah to show that it could be done. Amarai bar Chama, Hamachamer achar behemto b'shabes b'shogi chayiv chatos, the mezit chayiv skilos. So we'll say a very interesting case. Mechamer achar behemto means that you call your animal. You call your animal to follow you using your voice. See here, I'm not directly leading the animal. I'm calling the animal towards me. So the Gemara says, and the animal's laden with something. So the Gemara says, if you do this on Shabbos, you're chayiv chatos. If you do it b'shog, you're chayiv v'chatos. If you do it b'mezit, you're chayiv skilo. My time. What's the reason for this? Amar Abba d'Amar Kro, lo sase komolocha, ato ubehemtecha. Behemto dum yodide mahu shogei chayiv chatos b'mezit chayiv skilo. Af behemto namin b'shogei chayiv chatos b'mezit chayiv skilo. So we'll say again, the Gemara says, you Torah equates your animal with you. Just like if you do a malacha, b'shogei your chayiv chatos b'mezit your chayiv skilo. So too, if you do a malacha, you cause your animal to do a malacha, you're also b'shogei chayiv chatos b'mezit chayiv skilo. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav shtei tshuvas, but Rav says, it doesn't make sense. Two questions I have on that. Chada dechsiv, Torah achos yelachem lo ose b'shkaga, v'hanefesh asher ta'ase b'yad rama. So the Torah says by Avodah Zarah, there is one Torah for anyone who does b'shogeg, and for the person who violates b'yad rama means b'mezit. Huksha kol Torah kol Avodah Zarah. The entire Torah is compared to idolatry. Ma Avodah Zarah da'avid ma'ase b'gufei, hacha nami ad da'avid ma'ase b'gufei. They both say you're only chayiv for something if what? if you mamish do a malacha yourself. A ma'aseh begufei, just like I have all the zara. You're only chayiv if you do a ma'aseh yourself. So to any time, you're only chayiv for something if you do a ma'aseh yourself. Hear what's happening over here. I'm calling my animal. My voice is bringing I'm not doing anything beguf. Va'od, and furthermore, t'nan ha'mechalas ha'shabes v'davr shechamen ha'shigos v'chatos, va'alzadonu skila. Or else, you know, touch, we'll stop over here. We'll stop with the va'od. We'll bring up the second kasha tomorrow. Mirtzash.
Fire in the house.
Well, that's why the Gemara gives you the ability to call others to help. And that's exactly why the Gemara gives you that license.
For yourself.
Sorry?
It's still recording.